This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 3.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now, here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, James Sexton is one of Australia's top agents and consistently ranks in the global top 100 agents for RE/MAX. A couple of years ago, James came in at number one for RE/MAX with a gross commission earned total of more than $400,000 in a single month. That's not a bad month. James is the broker, owner and sales manager of RE/MAX Hills and Country in beautiful Mount Barker, South Australia. He leads a sales team of five and has a philosophical approach to real estate and to life, as you'll hear during this session. I really love doing this interview with James. He's such a natural guy. He is really in touch with his community. And there's some things I need you to look out for in this interview, because it's not a long interview, but there's some gold in there. One of the things that you need to listen out for is how James built a fantastic community page in Facebook and how he's gone from zero to over 2,000 followers in about 8 months. That's a phenomenal effort. And this is a small town with a population of about 9,000 people. So you can see how James has really brought everything together. There's some other really basic fundamental essentials that he talks about, and the way that agents can enjoy serious success just by following James' lead, keeping in touch with his community as he does. So I think that's probably all I can say at this point. Let's go down on the farm and let's have a chat to James. Well, hi, everybody. I'm excited to be speaking today with South Australia's finest, James Sexton. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, Ray.
Now, James, your agency is RE/MAX Hills and Country in beautiful Mount Barker in South Australia. You would be, am I right in saying, about a 40-minute drive from downtown Adelaide?
About 20 minutes, actually. Freeway, everything else, it's up in the hills.
Firstly, thank you so much for setting aside some time to chat on Top Agents Playbook. I'm keen to find out a lot more about how you're getting the amazing results, and maybe we can start with that. I know I looked at the RE/MAX Global Top 100 numbers. Boy, I think it was only a couple of years ago, and you came in at number one with a massive month of more than $400,000 in earnings. So congratulations. I know that I think there's 95,000 RE/MAX agents around the world. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. It's about 95,000, and certainly amazes me that we come from a little town of about 9,000 people with a few other country areas around there, and yet we can consistently get up amongst the best around the world, and we've been doing this for pretty well for about the last 24 years.
James, yeah, it's pretty amazing, and I came from a town that was about the similar size, actually, Swan Hill in Victoria. And the interesting thing about our town was that the population never changed, because every time a woman got pregnant, a guy left town, which was interesting. So I'm not sure whether that happens in Mount Barker or not, but that was the story of my hometown. Can you tell me a little bit about your results, like month in, month out? What's a good month for you? What do you strive for?
I suppose what we do, we just want to have happy clients. We chase results. We're constantly focused on listing. We spend, there's nothing for us to spend 5-6 years to put together a good series of listings on major development sites, things like that. You know, when I finished off the 415,000 settlements in 1 month, there's probably 5 years of work that all came together in that.
Right.
You know, best year I ever did. I sold 164 properties. I listed 185 properties on my own, no PAs, nothing else. I was just focused on chasing results, and you just build a momentum that just keeps on going, and everyone gets to see who's doing the work and they want to be part of it. And I always just look after clients so well in an old country-style way. And for the 24 years I've been doing that in real estate since we've opened our office, it's just come back in dividends just time and time again.
I'm a country boy as well, and you and I go back
a fair way, and I know your style. Am I right in saying that the culture that you develop within your office is central to your success?
Oh, absolutely. Look, before getting into real estate, we were tied up in the potato industry. I was a chook farmer, and we'd been out in the country. We were used to working hard. We're used to doing the right thing. If you say something, you're committed to it and you absolutely do it. And unfortunately, in the real estate industry, a lot of that doesn't happen. There's too much people trying to impress people, how they look, how they drive, this sort of crap. And the reality is people just want to know, are you for real? Are you genuine? Are you not? And will you get them a good result? And so I can always remember everyone complaining about how hard the real estate industry was. And yet this mate of mine, name is Fred, he used to be an arsehole remover. And he'd sit in this chicken factory, cut my asses out of chooks all day long.
Wow.
And he was happy as Larry because he was putting his kids through university. And we sit there and think, oh, gee, it's tough to go out and have a coffee and do a few appraisals or knock on a few doors. And it's all relative. People sit around in little groups sort of complaining about how hard real estate is. It's the cushiest, easiest job you'd ever come across.
I'm just amazed. He was removing chooks butts, but he was putting his kids through uni. How did he do that?
Basically just saved his money. And then with his money, and he'd come from another country, come here. He just wanted to get a job, work hard, and let his children have the opportunity to go better. So he just made sure he looked after his kids, and they then progressed off and through uni. And I think one of them became a doctor.
Okay.
So he was happy. He had a goal. His clear goal was give his children a better education and let them get on in life. And that was his goal.
And would you say that you work hard or you work smart?
Look, I definitely work hard, but I also work smart. It doesn't feel like work. Everything is involved around the community, the family, and everything. Like, there's no on-off time. Years ago when the kids were younger and I'd have buyers in the car, I'd actually pick the kids up from school and drop them off home with the buyers in the car. Then they realise you're human and they've got kids. Often I do it with buyers or sellers. I'd be talking, oh, you want to do that? Okay, we do that. Just operate like they're your friends and they become your friends.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. And if I've got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch a sunrise on a certain property to get the ultimate photo, I do it. I don't bat an eyelid. If I've got to see people at 11:30 at night because they're running a B-double transport truck and that's the only time they're going to be near their property, I do it. It's no big deal. It's no different to being out with your mates in the pub, but you're just out there and doing the business.
Now, tell me a little bit about your team. I think there's 7 or 8 in the sales team. Tell me how the dynamics of that works. And this is, I'm not talking admin or property management, purely in the sales team.
Okay, in the sales team, we've got Ken, my brother and I, there's 8 of us. We all sell. And we've got every one of the sales team has been trained up by us. We bring them in new to the industry so they don't develop bad habits. And then we bring them through a process where we actually nurture them along, we help them, and our experienced people go out, the new ones, do the first 15 or 20 listings with them, and everyone backs and supports everyone else. Nathan Watts is our sales manager. He's been with us for 13 years. He came through initially as a little cadet. He helped putting up signs, then he helped doing this, then he helped the salespeople, and he's come all the way through. And now he's a very, very strong performer with a massive following, and it's just got one of the reputations of being the best people in the industry.
I think I've met Nathan. He does a terrific job, but I guess it comes back to the rapport and the culture that you've got almost within your office. It's almost like an extended family, I guess. Is that right?
Oh, definitely. We have fun. We enjoy it. We work hard. We play hard. But all our salespeople are local. And every Christmas, Julie and I, everyone in the entire office, all family, children, everyone else, they come around home. We have a Christmas party in our garden. Done that for the last 24 years. And we just... everyone knows everyone, and we do operate as a team. And if someone's in a bit of problem with a listing or a sale, the other people help them out. And that's it. It's not about trying to get your own personal figures better. It's about getting the whole team to operate better. And it's a terrific team. It's really we've got a mixture of young through to old, youngest chaps, 29, going up to 58.
James, what would the team do in terms of number of actual sales or can I say listings and sales in a month on average?
We try and put a minimum of 30 listings away.
Right.
And then sales wise, we try and get a just under a sale a day. So we sit around. Currently, our market's fairly flat here, but we're still putting away about 24 to 26 a month. So yeah, considering John and I, we're not as heavy in sales what we used to, because we do a lot of property development as well. And we're very consistent doing that sort of month in, month out, and have for donkey's years.
I want to come back to your property development because that really interests me, if you don't mind, because you've applied your real estate knowledge to that. But just before we get onto that, if somebody's listening to this and they're new to real estate, or even if they've been in real estate for a while, and I know that you speak at a lot of real estate events where you motivate and inspire people with your stories, but what would you advise somebody who's like just getting started at the moment, somebody who's kicking off or somebody who's frustrated? Are there some specific actions that you notice within your team that get results and get things done?
What I find is the secret is to get people to actually focus and think about real estate. And people think they are, but they're not. And so
you're talking about salespeople?
Salespeople.
Right.
I say to people, basically write down everything you know about real estate. Just
okay.
write the key features down. Then write down your friends and sphere of influence. Then think about the position they're in and think about who of those should be either buying or selling. And then look at what is in your marketplace. And if you're coming to real estate, the first thing you have to do is know every property on the market. There's no easy. You have to know what's happening. And so you have to become very knowledgeable in every property you're buying and selling.
Yep.
And every property that everyone else is buying and selling. Because it's that knowledge that allows you to get better experience, get better results, and move from there. And then you just have to get out there, see people, talk to people, and read the play slightly in front of the market. If you see a new school is opening up, then Blind Freddy can see that people are going to be shifting in that area. So get around and hunt up, look for old rubbishy homes, look for properties can be subdivided, and start talking to those owners and see if you can help them out a little bit down the track.
Yep. Okay. Tell me what a typical day looks like for you. What kind of things are you doing with you? I mean, you're a performer. You're doing a couple of $100,000 a month in fees yourself personally. What do you fill your day with? What are the things that get you results?
Basically, get up relatively early, get out in the garden. Wife and I are very keen gardeners, so we get out and get stuck into that. Yeah, we run, actually Julie counted them up yesterday, 135 fruit trees, plus all the English gardens, flowers, all that. And because we've got such good weather in Adelaide Hills, it's perfect garden sort of area. Stuff around and do that. I probably don't get into the office till about 9:30. And then I just go through. I just contact everyone that I'm dealing with on properties, follow them up. I then do that through to a certain period of time, and then I go on to contacting the future deals that I'm putting together, people that I think should be looking at a certain property. I'll ring them up, and then I have a whole database of, and I do a lot of work with property developers who I just constantly ring and put properties in front of them and talk about that, what have they got for sale. And then if I actually run out of things to do, I just go back through. I've got an old Teledex, and I just ring everyone I've dealt with in the past before and just chat to them about various things. No, away you go.
Do you use a database? Do you use any real estate software, or you've just got your Teledex?
I do. Look, we've got a database in our system in the office. We do all that. I run my own sort of old handwritten database, which is sort of the Teledex. I don't run a prospecting database that sends out all those emails and everything else that no one reads. I believe in personal contact, talk to them face-to-face.
Getting on the phone.
Absolutely, getting on the phone, meeting them in person, dropping in and seeing them. And I often get our young salespeople and say, okay, let's go for a drive. And we'll just drive around. We'll see a builder working on a new house in the suburbs, so we stop and go and talk to him. We drive around and we'll just see, because it's country, you always see people you know, so you stop and have a chat to a farmer, you stop and have a chat to someone else, and you get talking to them, and then, just say to them, look, we're looking for work. You know, anyone wants to buy or sell? And most people want to help you out, and they'll tell you what this bloke's doing this, this lady's doing this, this is going on. So you just go out and find the work.
It's interesting you say that, you know, because I started my career in a small country town, and then I moved to Melbourne and worked in the city. And I pretty much found that the same principles applied, just driving around and talking to people. I didn't really find that it was any different city to country. And I think a lot of people think it is, where it's just the same, where there's people, okay, there's probably more of a community in the country, a local community, I guess, and everybody knows perhaps a bit more about what's going on. But, yeah, I just found it pretty similar in the city. So it's interesting you say that.
One of the beauties out there at the moment is social media and all the new technology. And we run Twitter, we run Facebook, we run all that sort of stuff. I run a Facebook page called We Love the Adelaide Hills, and all it does is puts in high quality photos of all the beautiful areas around the Adelaide Hills. It puts on photos of, you know, autumn trees. It puts on photos of beautiful old buildings and sunsets, sunrises, anything interesting that's going on, new restaurants opening up. And all we do is put on good news and good photos. There's absolutely never a critical word said on there. And I think, I don't know, I'm out to nearly 2,000 people liking the page and going through. I've been doing it for 8 months. And what I find is that people like the positiveness, not the whingy, bitchy, negative stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not chasing real estate. It's not putting stuff on there. But I've got people all over the world following that page. I've got people in London that say, oh, they're trying to recognise where the photos are from. People in Alaska having a look at it and saying, gee, that's great. And what it does, it builds up a very foundation of awareness so that anyone thinks that the Adelaide Hills, they just know, oh, gee, they know a lot about it. And so that's just a clear sort of a plan we had to just come into social media in a long-term sort of slow and easy fashion so that we are recognised. And we control a lot of the Facebook pages, websites, everything else. We love the Adelaide Hills. You know, I think we've got 28 of them out there. And we just feed various things into there from different angles. Yeah.
And do you put any listings on? I've seen your Facebook pages, and they're awesome for a number of reasons. Firstly, you've got some beautiful things to photograph, like your garden for a start, which I love looking at. You're also a good photographer, and you're living in paradise, so that's a pretty good trifecta right there. But do you ever put any listings or anything on your page, or you're just building a community?
We put the odds one on there. We don't push and we don't that much. We put the odds old sign. Just the odd listing. We run a company Facebook page as well. We don't put many listings and that on that. We use our website for that. No one looks at a Facebook page wanting to scroll through and look at real estate properties for sale or real estate selfies. Don't work. I don't think I've ever taken a selfie in my life. Haven't got the head for it for a start. But all the photos.
What are you talking about? You're a very good looking man, James.
I'm getting worried about you now, Ray. One of the things is the 95% of the photos I put on the Facebook are taken with an iPad or an iPhone.
Yep, yep.
And all it is, you just get the angle, get the sun, do that. And once again, everyone's so busy. Everyone's copping shit in their life. Just put something out there that's nice and fun. Because we're family orientated, I also want to show people that real estate and families go well together. We've got six grandkids, three kids, brothers in the business, kids have all been in the business, and you know, probably all the people that work in the office, 80% of them are all interconnected through kids, family, people who knows this, that, and it just works really well.
It's a fabulous formula, and to have like 2,000 followers in such a short space of time is obviously clear evidence and proof that what you're doing is working. You're getting great photos, and you've always struck me as having a terrific sense of family, and you don't care who knows about it. And like you said at the start of our interview, that it's kind of like, it, you know, like with the buyers and the kids in the car, it kind of humanizes you a little bit and lets people see who you really are.
I think what most people, once again, you grow up in that rural thing that your kids had come to work with you out on the farm and doing stuff, and that's why country kids are so level-headed, because they just seen it all, where when mum and dad just go off in a car, come back at night in a bad mood, and the kids have got no interrelationship between what you actually do, how much effort it takes to earn a dollar.
Yes.
To have the children involved is very good, and all of our kids have been pretty good with buying real estate. They understand it and they get in, they bought some good stuff, and that's something we try and teach everyone. But I think, yeah, we don't do the figure. You know, years ago we were much, much more aggressive in writing figures and chasing all that, but we don't really get that stressed in what we do. It's enjoyable. And, you know, if someone said, could you keep doing it for another 25 years until you're, 85, I can't see a problem with that, because it's actually good fun. People are dropping in. You're dealing with people you like. You know, we've got properties here we've sold 5 times, that individual property over the last 25 years. We've got customers that are coming in who we're now selling properties to their grandchildren. And because we just, without fail, always look after people, always honest, always do the right thing. If we make a mistake, we just wear it. You know, I've had to buy a pump that we thought was working. It wasn't, $5,000. We don't even hesitate. We just do it. And everyone Wow. knows that about us. So we get on. If we ever stuff up with a property tenancy, we look after the tenant, we look after the landlord, and we do that. And it does happen, you know. So we had a case where a young lady bought this little investment unit, and another company was doing the property management, and when they shifted out, you know, the carpets were atrocious, it's terrible. We actually put new carpets in for that client, and because we just want our clients to be treated the way we want our family to be treated.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, yes.
They'd be, yeah, we look. Yeah, one young couple got in serious trouble. We actually paid their house loan for a couple of months and Wow. never asked for the money back. Because if you're in the community, if you're being responsible, if you want to, yeah, if you're really serious about being a, and you like people, it's the least you can do is to help the odd person out when they're in trouble.
Yeah, and you're giving back as well.
Oh, definitely. And we're involved. Nathan, he's heavily involved in the CFS. He just took out the REMAX Australia Community Hero Award for effort in fighting bushfires and Right. looking after clients. You know, young Ben, he's a president of the local Apex Club for Jim's head of Rotary. You know, we've got all these involvements. You know, Trudy's woman heavily involved in all the netball and doing that. So we've got the whole range of things. We're just out there in the community. Basically, we just call it living. But that living involves your work.
Yeah. Yeah, what a wonderful formula. Can you tell me a little bit about your marketing? I mean, I know you get a lot of word of mouth stuff, clearly, and you know you're dealing with 3 or 4 generations of Mount Barker residents. Do you do any kind of marketing? Is there a marketing you like that works? I guess social media aside, what works for you?
We still do the local paper. We've cut that back to every second week. Mount Barker is a regional growth area. We're one of the fastest growing areas in Australia, because in the Adelaide Hills, we're the first town out of what they call water catchment that can actually be developed, so that there is a lot of development coming. The next 10 to 15 years will probably be the biggest growth period we've ever experienced.
How exciting.
We've had 8,000 residential allotments rezoned to be able to be developed. So we've got potentially $4 billion worth of housing coming, which will put another $250 million of retail spend into the district over the next 20 years. And I'm chairman of Business Mount Barker, which represents all the CBD of our, well, we might as well say we're almost a city, 300 businesses. So yes. I run that. We got together, decided to pay a separate council rate on top of our normal council rates, and a committee that I chair then invests that $105,000 a year into the benefit of the CBD. And we do that through planting very high quality deciduous trees, by upgrading street furniture, by looking at with council working jointly on upgrading intersections. It's a very, very effective group. And I've got 2 billionaires that sit at that table in property and numerous others. And it is very, very effective, and it's been fantastic for our township.
Wow, that's quite a success story. And congratulations. I'm interested also, you mentioned previously how you've used your knowledge of real estate and property to get into some development, which or investment. I guess you wouldn't have started with major developments. Can you tell me a little bit about the backstory to that, James? How you first, like, what was your first investment property, and how did that go step by step along the way? That's what I'm interested to learn more about.
Basically, Julie and I, years ago, when we first got together, we've been together nearly 40 years, but we would buy a block of land, build a new house, work our guts out, put the garden in, sell, move on, do it again, move on to acreage, do that. Then I got into real estate. I didn't do much for quite a few years because I was too busy, and I was also running a forklifting company at night loading chickens. Good work ethic. But at one point there, I remember buying this little old cottage on 2 acres, liked the location, but this is really good. Just got a stonemason around the outside, put a new roof on, bingo, moved on, did that. Then one day, met another chap, and one of the policies we had, and I had a client who'd run a big chain of butcher shops, and he'd always said that he made more money out of owning the properties than out of the actual butcher shops. And I always remembered that. So when we decided to start our own business, 6 months before we opened, we bought the office so that we controlled the real estate. And it's a policy we've done all the way through, so that we've always owned, and at various times I've had up to 4 offices, but with the internet you don't need them. So we've always bought the property before we opened the actual office. So then we didn't have to worry about landlords and things like that. And that's worked incredibly, incredibly good. But we actually bought an old school with some other business partners and decided to develop that. The zoning was wrong. We knew the zoning was pushing that way, so we sat on it for a couple of years. We then were approached by numerous people to develop it. Then we had a major supermarket chain come and said, we would like to put a supermarket in there if you do this. Well, initially we approached them. They said, piss off, wrong zoning. Then they came back when we got the zoning right, because we took that as the start of the negotiations. There's one and so we basically built a supermarket, major supermarket, borrowed at that point on about $5.5 million, took massive risk, could have gone broke. That now is in the top 5% of the supermarkets in Australia, turning over, you know, well in excess of $50 million a year, and it's really been fantastic for us. Since then, because we operated that development the same, we do everything else, it's a multinational company. They then approached us to build another one, another town, so we did that. And currently, my daughter and son-in-law, 8 years ago, they bought a piece of land, sort of on my advice, saying, I reckon in about 10 years' time, that's the perfect spot for a interconnector road to go through and to have a good subdivision-enabled shopping centre. And as it turns out, that was correct. And they've got a major, you know, probably $25 million project coming up on their land, but they planted 8 years ago, paid a lot of interest, wore the pain, and in real estate, you've got to have some time. And so now there's an interconnector road going through, and they've got an absolutely brilliant location, and they're doing that. So
what's the moral of that story? Take a calculated risk?
I'd say think long term, and know what you're doing. So they wouldn't have bought that property if you hadn't really seriously looked and understood where the roads were going to go. Our site that we developed, although we borrow and we do all that, we knew the population growth coming. So, yeah, you have to have that knowledge. You can't take a calculated risk without having the knowledge. So you just find out the knowledge, look at it all, do it, and everything else. And so basically that's how we do it. But have the belief in real estate. Yeah, we've still got some of the offices in little country towns that, you know, I got one that I paid $129,000 for, I don't know, 15 years ago or something, and it's leased out to a government department, $25,000 a year, all outgoings paid. So that's a pretty good return.
Yeah, that's a stunning return.
And our original office we bought 24 years ago for $320,000.
Was that a school?
No, it was the first purpose-built butcher shop in the state, 1884. The one we're in now is a school, and the butcher shop.
I'm looking at a photo online. Sorry to interrupt. I'm looking at a photo online. It's a brick building with not a blue stone, an old stone foundation, and a red roof. Is that
That's our current office.
Okay,
1870. That's the school.
Right.
That was we bought that. Once we went to an auction, everyone else thought it was too far out. And believe it or not, we bought that property, 5,000 square metres or an acre and a quarter, 3 road frontages, that old school building, another building, right at the gateway to Mount Barker. We bought that 16 years ago for $460,000.
Wow.
at auction, and the reason being, everyone else said it was too far out, but we could see the numbers coming. We knew that there was a study being done on the rezoning of the town centre. Now, you know, that site there, you know, well, in behind that's where we built our shopping centre and everything else, and it's just come through at a valuation of $31 million. So wow. it's a take the risk. There was some very good people standing at that auction that could have picked it up, and we were the ones that did it.
If you'd like to have a look at I'm looking at your website. I'm actually going to post if you don't mind, I'm going to post a photo of your office in the show notes at topagentsplaybook.com because yeah. I'd love people to see it. I'm also going to post a link to your website because which is realestateinthehills.com, but I'll post a link at topagentsplaybook.com in the show notes under James' interview because I really like the simplicity of your website. And you are a classic example, James, to me, of somebody, and it doesn't matter how old people are or how young people are, but you have really seized on the connected world, the internet, social media, probably better than anybody else I know in kind of our age group. And you have really nailed it, my friend, and congratulations. I love the design and style, and it's just nice and clean and simple. I think people could learn a lot from a website like this. Do you get a lot of traffic?
Oh, yeah, a lot of traffic. We've got people use it. It's won numerous awards. The interesting thing is that my brother John Sexton, he put all that together, did all that, and we actually use a Canadian to do it, and it's a company in Canada called Split Mango, David Miller, his dad was working for us. He put us onto him, and so he does all that from Canada.
Well, that means when you come out here, that could be a tax deductible trip. Am I right?
It's always a tax deductible trip going to Canada because the fact we're just saying we're visiting the fridge. Actually, my daughter and son-in-law and a little baby are coming out to catch up some friends in Canada in May. And my daughter Louise, she worked in Canada for about 9 months up in Ottawa. Went through one of those hellish winters that you have over there, which we don't understand. But beautiful country, absolutely loved Canada. It's just such a brilliantly run country and such terrific people.
It is a wonderful country, and the people, the local hockey team here in Toronto is not too hot at the moment, but they're doing their best. I'm probably all out of questions, but I unless you've got any really funny gags you want to share with me, there's not a whole lot more I can ask you. It's just been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. How's the garden looking?
Yeah, our garden's actually really good. We've got fruit coming out of our ears at the moment, tomatoes, all that sort of stuff. The dog's behaving himself, which is good for a change. What I say to everyone in real estate, when they're getting in, it is nowhere near as complicated as everyone makes it out. You just have to get out amongst your friends, colleagues, everyone else, and just help them. That's all you've got to do. And like in the early days, I'd be out with farmers, I'd jump on the back of a spud picker in my suit, tuck the tie away, sit there grading spuds up and down the rows while we chat about things, and they'd be telling, look, we're not selling. I say, I'm not here to talk to you about selling. All I want to do is pick your brains a bit. Do you know anyone else that's selling? And I'd go up and down this spud digger grading spuds, and within the next 6 months, two or three people had come and see me because that farmer thought, shit, he bothered to take the time to come and see me.
Yeah.
And we see young people going out trying to find a list. Not young, they'll be old, but they're a bit new. And they drive around subdivisions and nothing's happening. But on that subdivision, there's someone mowing a lawn. He owns a house or is thinking of owning a house. There's someone, you know, building a house. There's a bricklayer doing something. And I remember one bricklayer, and I dropped in. He was building a shed, laying a brick. And I dropped in and had a bit of a chat. And he said, oh, what do you want to talk to me for? And I just said, are you working hard and doing this? And I just started talking about chicken farming and, you know, just shooting the breed, nothing much at all. Then he just says, oh, look, he said, you're not a bad bloke. He said, I might come and see you. He said, over the years, I've put a few away. I said, I'll put what away? He said, houses. He said, I've got 14 houses that I've built and just rent out. Now, this bloke was driving an old beat-up ute. No one had bothered to stop to talk to him. You wouldn't think he'd have two bob, and he was a multimillionaire.
There you go.
But he was in his mind, he was a bricklayer. The fact he'd built a few houses kept him rented out. And the reason he was deciding to sell some of them was simply because he wanted his kids had shipped other areas, and he wanted to give them the money to buy a house in those areas. And that's it's when you find out what the real people are, not what people think and they judge them and do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it because, yeah, honestly, we're not that complicated. I still buy my cars from the local dealer that we've always bought them from. You know, I go to the same guy that does my clothes. He brings – and he's a good bloke. He brings his one of his staff over and says, hey, come have a look at this. He said, you haven't seen this before. And he said, these pants are 14 years old. And I said, how can you tell that? And he said, these are my pants. We stopped doing that cuff. And I said, well, obviously they don't wear out. That's why I buy them. And he said, well, most people change them more often. I said, well, why would you change them? They're not broken. As long as the zipper works, they're okay.
Mate. There you go.
but that's it. All right.
Well, thank you so much, James. It's been an absolute pleasure. And like I said, you and I go back a fair way. And I'd like to thank you for giving me some time. You are living in paradise. I don't know of anybody more community involved than you are. So you've created your own success. And congratulations. And thanks so much for your time.
Nope, no worries. Thanks, Ray. See ya.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Well, that was an absolute blast speaking with James. I really loved doing that interview. I've actually been to James' Facebook page and had a look at the photos. Check out his Facebook page, We Love the Adelaide Hills. Just do a search, We Love the Adelaide Hills. And I'm going to play some music now. Check out those photos while you're listening to the music. Imagine it's a summer's day, you're in your car driving down a country road. And if you haven't been to Mount Barker, South Australia in the Adelaide Hills, to take a look around, make sure you put it on your bucket list because it is one beautiful part of the world. And thanks again, James. And take care, everybody. You can check everything out at topagentsplaybook.com. I'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
Listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.